It sounded like you said, yeah.
I almost played my hand.
Yep.
And I made it wrong. Now my back's against the wall.
I'm gonna start my recording.
I do declare that I will begin this recording as soon as my mother returns from the war.
Just that's my
sound
check.
That was a great Futurama character. You guys, the country chicken.
Mm-hmm. Oh yes,
the country chicken so lawyer who talked like that.
I'm just now. I may just be a backwoods country chicken lawyer, but
so, yeah.
Well,
Badger.
What's the name? What's the name of our episode? I mean, the show. What's the name of this show?
Country chicken lawyer.
Oh,
country chicken.
Would you like to introduce this show, Laz or Emilio?
Take it, Laz.
All right.
Do the voice.
All right. You rocking live with the Country Chicken Lawyers. Wait, that was the voice, right?
Yep, that's
nailed it.
Okay, good. Now I may just be a simple country chicken lawyer. No, I wasn't it either.
No, that's actually really good.
It started strong, at least.
Is it finger-licking good? Something like that.
And so on. Whatever you foolish Your Honor,
I motion
like.
We be...
Do you have to say, like, lawyery things? Yeah.
Yeah. Your Honor, I motion that my client be set innocent for insanity for hiring me as a lawyer. Some phrase like that. I can't remember exactly.
Yeah,
objection,
man,
Your Honor. Objection. Actually, that character based on the opponent lawyer from My Cousin Vinny? I think it is.
Well, I think that character is based on like some other mythological Southern lawyer from many different archetype.
It's a trope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A very funny trope.
It's the best trope. It's kind of Keanu Reeves in Devil's Advocate.
Oh my god.
Ooh,
he just gives up on doing a Southern accent at some point in that movie. Like maybe the first like 5 minutes. And then from there on out, nope. Kind of like his English accent in Dracula.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that was pretty bad.
Yeah, I mean, such a great movie, though, but as was Devil's Advocate, two really great movies that he was in.
Yeah.
But he
with terrible accents.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he was
partial
he was
accents.
It's not that. It's just like, you know, he wasn't great in Bram Stoker's Dracula, and he was, you know, it was fine that it was him in The Devil's Advocate. It had no bearing whatsoever on the film. Because Al Pacino was the main event.
Yeah. Oh, and how so? I mean,
man, so good in that.
That was like his overacting achievement of all time.
Just the best, like the most Al Pacino that you could possibly be.
Just, yeah, fill up your cup with Al.
What do they call it in Rick and Morty? Like Rick Prime. He's like that was Al Pacino Prime.
Al Pacino! It's me, Oscar winner!
That was pretty good.
Hooah! Yeah. You listen to me, Keanu!
Well, I sort of lost a little bit there.
Shut up, Christian!
You had it, and then, I don't know, you suddenly became like generic high school principal.
You kids, sit down!
I know that you, Emilio, I mean Al Pacino,
yes,
had a little fun game for us for this week's episode.
I had completely forgotten.
I had it because I was excited about it.
I also forgot, but There's still time.
You guys are bad at this.
My God.
Well, did we talk last week? Was that you? That's you guys. That's you guys.
We wiped our own memories of it completely after listening, after recording it.
It's just like...
Yes, okay. We were going to look at a map
Yep.
of the different places.
Yes.
Except I don't know your specific address either for either of you guys.
Can so I send you
I can't
you
look
a...
exactly at the address.
Well, can I send you a map without sharing it? Or can you bleep out my address or something?
No, I mean, are we getting down close to the address, or are we just doing the city? I mean, San Diego's big. That's the only thing.
I just put it in the chat. I'll put it in our...
Okay.
In our group.
I'll put mine in our chat, too.
Yeah, and if you put in my town, you're good.
Yeah, that's as close as you need to get. I mean, I kind of feel that same way with Missoula, but, you know, what else? All right.
All right, yeah, this is... All right, I've got Christian's up here.
Okay, I've got Emilio's up, and we're just going with your town there, Lazzarino.
Yeah, and really, like, the surrounding 10 towns is probably good.
Okay, great. All right.
What is the population of your town, Laz?
I actually looked it up recently. It's around 6,200.
Wow, that's small. A town.
And I was, because of the reason I was looking it up is because there is a, I went to my, my daughter is in band. She's in the advanced band for fourth grade. And we went to the band night, which is what they do is they do, the two schools that are part of the district. So our school and then the neighboring town school. And then they do the elementary, the middle school and the high school all have their band nights on the same night. So they can see where you came from and see where you're going. Like they want the kids to like be part of it. So there was 200 kids all in like doing their different band shows there.
Oh my God.
So it was a pretty big event. And the, you know, our daughter's elementary school went up and it was like, you know, 10 kids and it was awesome. Sounded cool. Very fun. And then the neighboring town went up and they had like 40 kids. So it was the same thing, elementary school. And it was like, they filled this, like literally filled every seat on the stage. And it was like a big band. Like they had all these different things. And I was like, well, wait a minute. So I looked up the populations of the two towns. I was like, these towns are right next to each other. They're the same town. They're like, you know, like it's like Ashburnham, Westminster, Ash West. Mm-hmm. Like they're like sister towns. And their population was like 8,000 and ours was 6,200. But like somehow between those two towns, one of them has like, it's like Band City or something. So I don't know. It was fun.
Or there's just a lot of boning going on. They got a lot of babies over there.
Yeah, maybe it's a lot of children over there. Maybe the extra 2,000 people in there are all children.
2,000 children.
It could be that the median age of your town is way higher than their median age.
Yeah, that's possible.
But I don't know
how to look that up.
What's more important to me is I would like to know what is your town's thing. If that other town's thing is band stuff, I mean, what are you guys representing for?
You know, that's I don't know. And the other reason I was looking up the thing is because we got a message that the Ashburnham softball team for, you know, for their age group doesn't have enough kids. And so they're requesting that our Ashburnham kids join one of the three Westminster clubs.
Three.
They have three softball teams.
More people.
In that age group, they have three softball teams. And we have not been able to muster a single team for this year. So I don't know. I'm like, wait a minute. What is going on here? So very confusing.
You know what I want to know about what's going on, Laz? Yeah. I want to know about Yakasawa Sushi and Grill.
I want to know about Yakasawa.
Tell me, what horrors are made at Yakasawa?
All right, Yakasawa. This is right in the center of town, right?
Is this the
one you're talking about? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, don't act like you don't know where Yakasawa is.
What are you talking about? We're clearly talking about your town.
There's another one nearby that has a similar name. So I just want to make sure it's in Gardner. But
you want to make sure. Okay, it's the name read off the screen to you.
Yakusawa has an interesting. It's like, why would this? It's first of all, it's extremely good sushi.
Okay. And extremely
why
good.
Would they have extremely good sushi in the middle of this town in the middle of nowhere?
Yeah.
And the answer is, if you keep looking at that map, you will see a school, Cushing Academy.
Yep. Yeah.
Which it's possible that you may have heard of this. We actually know some people who've gone to Cushing Academy.
Mm-hmm, we do.
Very wealthy private school. And so they have this sushi thing. That's their hangout. That's their like sushi place. That's the only reason this place is there. And it's so good. And it makes no sense that it's right in the middle of, you know, Ashburnham, but it's very good.
Good for that is very fortunate for the citizens of the town of Ashburnham.
Yeah.
Yep. So there it is, Yakusawa.
Is Cushing Academy, are the students there cool? Or are they jerks?
We have no idea. We have basically no interaction with them in any way.
When you see them at Yakusawa, do they like demand?
Well, actually... Well, the other thing about Yakusawa is
mean to waiters.
No, they used to be. I mean, we do see them. Like, we do see like you know groups of like teenagers, presumably from Cushing Academy, walking around, and they always seem very, very friendly, very nice. But they no longer have seating at Yakusawa ever since COVID, so it's takeout only, which kind of ruined it for us because we used to love going in there and doing
like
sitting
takeout
down.
Sushi is not good.
Yeah.
No, it's, I mean, it's just not the same. You know, you get the whole thing is like the presentation, the environment. Mm-hmm. So we actually don't really go there as much anymore, which kind of sucks. But it was a really good, it was like one of our favorite spots before.
Oh, interesting.
Oh man, I really want sushi now. Maybe I could convince Gladys to, Gladys, don't let's make that food you're making.
Make sushi instead.
Yes. Let's talk about Cushing Academy, though. So, we know two people who've gone there.
Who are these people?
John,
I don't know these people.
And Kaylee. Yeah, you don't know them actually. They're later Boston years people.
What's right, Cushing
the
Academy.
Two who we know.
Oh, go
ahead. Yeah. Yep.
What do they know for there? Just a private school, or they have a special thing?
It's like an international private school. So like, I don't know what exactly, I'm not sure that it's really known for anything. They actually have a very good sports program. I do know that because one of the parents of one of our kids' friends is one of their coaches and they have like a very well-respected sports program. But yeah, it's like an international private school and they're like, people send their kids to Cushing Academy from all over the world. And
wow.
I don't actually really know. Yeah. I don't really know what the pros and cons of it are, that kind of stuff, but it's like a somewhat controversial in the city, in the town of Ashburnham, because they're somehow, because they're educational, they pay some sort of different tax rate on stuff, you know, so like, I think there's just a general like level of like mistrust of like, these people are rich, we should be getting more money from them, I think is kind of the like general town sentiment sometimes. This may be my impression. So I don't know.
I'm looking at a picture. So I clicked on Cushing Academy. I'm looking at pictures. There's a picture of the soccer team. This is not what I expected at all. This is the most like diverse looking. There's like one white dude on this soccer team. Is this because they're all like international?
No, it's
like,
very international. So that's like, the sushi thing. The sushi, like there's like, yeah, it's a lot of Asian.
A lot of Asian,
Yeah.
Yes, now.
Okay, good. Sorry, I got lost. I was hearing you guys talking, though, but there was an issue with my setup. Sorry about that.
This is fascinating. I always sort of associate private schools with, like, rich white people. And, yeah, this is interesting.
We met royalty as a result of... one of our friends having gone there.
Tell more about that.
So let me figure it out here. Okay. That would be. Oh, what's the princess's name?
Princess Iman of Jordan. Although there's two Princess Imans of Jordan. So it's a little confusing because if you look them up, it's the older sister who is the one who shows up. But there's another Princess Iman of Jordan who is, was, you know.
Well, I think they're cousins is the thing.
Oh, cousins. Okay, not sisters.
Yeah, so like the princess who we met is the daughter of the older brother who was somehow not made king, and so her uncle was the one who was made king, and so something like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, she was nice.
Yeah, she was super cool. She came over to where we lived in Somerville, and we made some pizzas and stuff, hung out.
that's
and
so
then the current king of Bhutan went there. They all went to school together.
Jesus.
Yeah, and he's like a dreamboat. He's like the hottie king.
The king of Bhutan.
He is. Are you guys looking him up?
I sure am.
No.
Oh man.
I mean, yes.
This is a great, beautiful. He's got a great name.
He's beautiful. Wife's a babe.
Okay.
I would not make a guess at how to pronounce that name.
I see what
you're saying. Not your type?
No, but I see what you're saying.
He's so pretty.
I like him more.
He's everyone's type.
Yeah.
More rugged, yeah.
It's great. Okay.
All right. So I'm going to ask now about San Diego.
All right. Mm. Hit me.
But there's so many things in San Diego.
I know, there's a lot of things. And, so and none of them are interesting, to be fair. Like, I hope you found something good because.
Yeah. Now, see, I'm having second thoughts about the thing I was looking at.
Do you want to know about this? O'Reilly's Auto Parts or.
Well, I'm looking at like a pretty big map of San Diego, I think. So I don't really know where to go here. But let's just go with this. Land formation area looks cool. Mission Bay, Mission Beach.
Okay, let me yeah, that is a kind of fun area. It's a bay and I guess it's kind of what you would expect. It's like, you know, they've got some boating and fishing and a lot of paddle boarding and people grilling and there's an amusement.
So it's like a big park.
Yeah, a big park. There's an amusement park at Mission Beach. There's an escape room place there that I'd like that we've been to a couple times.
You do escape rooms more than you've done it several times.
I've done 5 escape rooms now.
Really?
And I'm 5 for 5, motherfuckers.
Whoa! And what nice. what difficulty level?
All the difficulty levels.
1 through 5.
I'm good at escape rooms.
I feel like I'm terrible at escape rooms.
So what difficulty level was that?
All difficulties? Are they rated by difficulty level? I haven't noticed that. I mean, they're yeah. the ones I've seen are like 6, 7, 8, or 9. Is that the scale that you're used to seeing?
Well, no, I don't know. Usually, like if you go to an escape room, you can ask for the easy, medium, or difficult level for the. Don't they? Isn't that like standard thing?
No. Not from what I've seen. Huh. The ones I've seen are usually like on a scale of 1 to 10, and I don't ever choose by difficulty level. I choose by like, is this available because I'm coming right now.
Oh, yeah. Okay, got it.
So which room?
I want to escape something real fast.
Yeah, which room can you put me in?
I need a fix. Give me a fix. I'll take whichever difficulty.
A couple of the ones I've done have been more on the easier, like I would say 5 or 6, I think, because I've done them with my son and like other friends' kids. I did in Cambridge. So Cambridge has a great right in Central Square. A great spot that has maybe 4 or 5. It's actually, you guys remember, lads, you certainly remember the Dunkin' Donuts in Central Square.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe you want to tell some stories about that place one day.
Oh, that's right.
So
oh, my God.
Underneath where that Dunkin' Donuts is gone now.
No, it's not.
It is.
What?
Okay, I know. Anyway, it was an institution, right?
It was there the last time I went there, so I'm surprised, but yeah.
Yeah, it's gone. It's like the liquor store's there, and then there's like a vape shop or something maybe.
Oh, dear.
But underneath that, so there's a small like entryway that leads to where my mom's old work used to be, actually. And there it goes like, it has multiple levels, and there's a basement level. In that basement are like four or five awesome escape rooms. And I did one. I've done two there now. One of the
ones. Are you sure these are escape rooms?
What a great question.
I mean, that, you know, there's a basement. They lock you in a room. You got to find your way out. You have to escape.
Yeah.
There's a guy with a mask on a video screen that, like,
yeah, he's got a puppet face.
He offers type you situation. A saw, and you have to, you know, decide if you're going to cut your leg off.
And it turns out it's Carrie Ells or whatever that guy's name is.
Carrie Elways. The greatest Robin Hood ever. So that one has one room that's very challenging, that is based on you being trapped in a former Nazi U-boat.
Oh.
And the Nazis have abandoned the U-boat, and you're probably of, like, I don't know, the British intelligence or something. You're trying to come and find out where the Nazis went and also find their gold.
Wow.
The gold is hidden somewhere inside of the submarine. And, oh man, it was fun. That was a great one because it was really, it was super interactive. Like, you had to actually, like, find all these clues and then use a periscope and attach all these connections to, like, hook up all these wires. And at one point you have to dive to a certain depth. And when you do that, the submarine starts to, like, break apart, and the room actually shakes, and, like, part of the wall moves towards you.
Whoa!
It was amazing.
My goodness.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Jeez. In the basement below where the Dunkin' Donuts
the Dunkin' Donuts in Central School.
Like, what?
This story is so fantastic, as I say it.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
So, anyway, that's San Diego Bay for you.
Nice.
All right. I want to know, in your honest opinion, and why, which is the better Thai restaurant, Sala Thai or La Moon Thai?
I don't know if I've ever been to either of those. Sala. I think I've been to Sala.
San Diego is so big.
They are so close to where you live. They're just up. Both of them are just up the street. From
oh yeah, Sala.
I can't believe it, Emilio.
Sala is garbage.
In Rolando Village. You know Rolando Village.
Rolando Village. Sala Thai sucks.
Oh, okay.
I've been there. It's one that caters to the college kids, and it's just not exciting, not interesting. I shouldn't. Now we'll never get sponsored by Sala Thai.
I hear them walking out. I hear them literally walking out the
that's
door.
That's the sound of Sala Thai's taking their patsyu and leaving.
Slam. You got a creaky door. You got a creaky door. You really should do some DW40 on it.
What was the other one?
La Moon Thai Eatery.
I don't know this one. I'll have to. Oh, this is also. But so all of these
less
are
less than a mile from you.
All of these are in the college area. The college area restaurants just generally suck.
Interesting.
They don't try very hard. So the Thai place that we go to is Tamarind Thai.
Oh.
Which is, I think, maybe a tiny bit farther away. You'll see it to the east of us.
Okay.
Tamarind Thai is pretty
find
good.
It. Okay. Why?
They're just generally solid. I don't order a ton of stuff usually, but, like, the patsyu is great. The skewers are great. And they tend to not be, like, super busy and full of annoying kids.
Mm-hmm.
One interesting story about Tamarind was during COVID, you'll remember there were Black Lives Matter protests.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, there was some kind of action that happened in our neighborhood, and I don't know exactly how it was connected to BLM or if it was just people getting upset and, like, so they basically a group of protesters, like, smashed up the Vons supermarket. Vons is, like, a big supermarket chain out here.
Oh boy!
And so, you know, we were like, good, fuck Vons, like, you know, corporations suck, right? But they also smashed the windows of Tamarind Thai.
Oh,
and
no.
It was like, what the hell, you guys? It's like a small local restaurant. Like, they don't deserve this at all. But I think it was just that rage, that mob mentality. People were just out and angry and, like, breaking shit. And so,
man,
yeah, it sucked. But they've bounced back. They're doing fine, I think. We made all a point to kind of support them during the pandemic.
Oh, that's nice.
Let's look at, should we look at Missoula?
Let's look at Missoula, so Montana.
I'm looking at Missoula right now, and I have a spot as a possibility. Okay. But first, I just want to say there is a very interesting thing going on the map on Missoula, where everything is east to west, north to south. And then they carved out like a little, like a square of all diagonals. And so everything, it looks like, like it looks like crosshatch, like if you're drawing a picture, they like crosshatch it in a different direction. It's so strange. I don't think I've ever seen this on a map before.
Oh my God. It's so stupid. And there's a story about it.
It looks like a story. It looks like something happened there.
There's definitely a story. So I can tell that story if you'd like to hear it, but, it's so stupid.
Okay, wait. So along with that story, what is, why would there be a thing called Zootown Surfers? That business. What is that business? What is Zootown Surfers and why is it next to that place? That's my question.
Well, let me tell you. The city of Missoula has a annual competition that is a river surfing competition.
Whoa.
And the way that this is achieved is through a little thing we call Brennan's Wave. Brennan's Wave is a concrete sort of structure under the water in the middle of the river, that's like in the on the river at the point in the middle of downtown, and you can walk down to it, and in a wetsuit with your surfboard, you can just go out there and like you jump in and you swim your way up to the wave, and then you can just surf it, staying essentially in the same place for basically as long as you want.
Wow.
And so there, Zootown being a nickname for Missoula, there is a surfing, I'm not going to say culture because it's not that, but there is a surfing presence that is unexpected, but also like reasonably well regarded. Welcome to Missoula, Montana, baby.
Zootown. Man, I kind of love that nickname.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you about those streets, though.
Yeah, we got to hear about this stuff because it does look absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, it's so stupid. So those streets are known as the Slant Streets, or short, the Slants.
Oh dear.
And yeah, I know it sounds racist, right?
Yeah.
But it's just like they are literally slanted streets. There's just there's nothing to be done about it. They've always been called the Slants. There's just it's just it. So there were two lawyers in Missoula, Montana, in the late 1800s, and they had competing visions for how the city should be laid out. One of them wanted cardinal directions, and the other wanted the streets oriented to the river.
Mm.
And so the river isn't straight through the city of Missoula. It kind of moves around. And so the slant streets are therefore slanted because they are oriented to the river. And what happened was they had this competing sort of idea, and so they, instead of work together, they just did two separate projects simultaneously on how they wanted the city to be laid out, and that they were for some reason allowed to do that, and it was never changed.
That's funny.
So that's why.
So great.
Yeah.
So great.
it's really awesome.
Do the people who live in the slant streets feel any sort of like pride or ownership over that, or like,
yeah, is it like a wealthy area, or is it like is it
we don't allow them out.
Yep. No, I see those streets. It's also sort of like gates on the edges.
They're barriers, Lads, actually.
And the little water thing, that's like a moat.
Yeah, that's their only source of drinking water.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Actually, it's really annoying because if you're trying to get through town, you're going and you need to go through the slant streets, you're going to get lost because it's just like you completely lose orientation what way you're going. And like, you just sort of avoid them. If you're going somewhere, because they are that much of an inconvenience. It's, you get into the slants, you're like, where am I right now?
Yeah, you like, because mentally everything else is just, okay, you go down this road, you go straight for 6 miles, and then you're like, it's just going a straight line. And then all of a sudden it's like, okay, you just turn diagonally and nobody knows where you are after that.
Yeah, it's really a bother.
I mean, it does sort of feel like every part of Boston, but that's a different story.
Well, you know, the thing about Boston is at least you expect it to be a disaster.
Yeah.
Well, you never get used to planning anything north, south, east, west.
No, so
you
just
all by landmark. That's
where the Dunkin' Donuts used to be, turn left.
Exactly. Yeah. So this you don't expect it, and so when you find yourself in it, you're just sort of like, what where am
where's
I?
The sun right now.
Yes, exactly. That how I'm gonna have to navigate through this maze.
This is it is a nicely sort of organized town. What year was Missoula built?
So it's one of these, you know, late 19th century situations. The University of Montana was, I think, which is in Missoula, was, I think, founded in 1886. And honestly, the state of Montana itself is younger. I think it's founded in 1896. Hmm. So let's see. Anyway, I could find this information, but it's 1881, actually, for University of Montana.
So, Emilio, I see that San Diego opted for orienting towards the water.
I couldn't tell you, but
I'm just looking at the map. I'm curious, like,
sure,
right up against the water on the bay and all the area, like that Route 5 that goes right down.
Yeah,
it's all oriented right at the same slant as the water. You know, it's at like a, 9-degree pitch or something like
yes,
that.
Yes, you're
to
right.
To line
you're
up
right.
with the water.
It's also, it's called the five, Laz.
The five. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Right.
I thought it was I-5. Right?
No. Everything is the blank.
Okay. We have the same five in Washington where I go, and it's always I-5.
Yeah, it is that same five. And yeah,
you guys
in
are
Oregon,
California
five.
Too.
Yeah, the Californians. Just take the 10 into the 94 and get out of here.
Oh God, no! We've done it. There's no way to talk about California without talking about the roads.
Yeah, it's true. It happens. It happens all the time here. So yeah, I'm looking at this too. I mean, you know, I hadn't really ever thought about that, but yeah, you're absolutely right. It's all oriented towards the water and sort of towards the freeway, which I guess. I get that neighborhood in particular is like a beach neighborhood. So like Mission Beach, Pacific Beach. So I'm wondering if it's because they started developing along the water and then built the rest of the area from there. I don't know. I don't really know the history of those areas very well. Also, that's pretty far from where I am. So if you from Mission Beach, if you follow the 8 to the east.
Yep. On the 8,
and then
Glenview, Lakeview, El Cajon.
Yeah, it's a little too far. So back off from El Cajon, you see La Mesa.
La Mesa, yep.
Yeah, so we're right on the border of San Diego and La Mesa. La Mesa is the next town over. I can walk there.
Oh, I see. And next to the Taco Bell.
And which shouldn't be. It should be illegal to have Taco Bells in San Diego, where there are so many amazing taco shops. But yeah, so my neighborhood, Rolando Village. Which you might see just south of the 8, is just a mess of curvy, weird streets. And I think it's because what's that, Chris? Yeah, well, I think you just got really quiet. So our area is very hilly, and there's all these like small canyons and things. So I'm wondering if that's a big part of why this neighborhood is like that. A lot of San Diego is like that. The neighborhoods are organized around the canyons, and so there'll be some main roads, and then everything else just kind of loops and curls in weird ways because they have to deal with, like, you know, these big hills and things. And if you want to know about my neighborhood historically, it was originally created as a whites-only village in like the 1940s or 50s or something. Just the worst. And now it's an awesome place full of like lots of like multicultural families.
Perfect.
We got rid of all those racists. Yeah, we did it. Yeah. Beat it. And based on the timing, I think that actually the reason that, well, maybe not the reason, but like the progression of the neighborhood or whatever is that right now, right, all those old white families that originally moved in here in like the 40s and 50s are now old, and they've all sold their houses. And so who's around to buy the houses? Well, it's all of us young brown people. It used to be one of the few like affordable neighborhoods in San Diego. Now it's not anymore. Now we're all rich because like all the houses are worth so much, but
all the housing has doubled in price.
It's amazing how it's changed. But yeah, so Rolando's it's gone through a lot of changes, and it's great, and we love it. We just recently got our elementary school is named for Henry Clay, who was.
Whoa, you just got really loud all of a sudden.
I got really loud. Did I touch something?
Yeah. Whoa.
I'm hearing you now.
No, it's fine.
Okay.
Whoa, that was really weird. Okay. All right, keep going.
Our elementary school was named for this guy Henry Clay, who was this like racist congressman, I want to say. Real piece of crap. And our neighbors two houses down, whose two daughters are in the school, started a campaign to change the name of the school, and they succeeded. I think I might have told you about this, Christian, at some point.
I think, yeah, that sounds familiar.
But yeah, they did it. They got the school. We went to all these rallies and, like, you know, had these shirts, and like I didn't go to this, but they had a group that spoke to the city council and to the school board. And they got them to change the name, and now they're in the process of figuring out what the new name should be. Huh. Neat. Just little
name thing. It after.
Is it still Clay in the meantime?
It or is it like... yeah.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Although I
don't have a
name. I don't call it that.
What do you call it?
That school up there.
Next to the Taco Bell.
Next to the
of which there are dozens in the city of San Diego. Yeah. I have a question for you about your beautiful, beautiful hometown. How many times have you been, and what was your favorite part of, how many times have you been to the San Diego Police Museum? What would you like to tell us? What was your favorite thing that you learned at the San Diego Police Museum, Emilio?
Wouldn't it have been great if I had actually been to the San Diego Police Museum and could answer this question?
All kinds of cool facts.
There's just no way. I was betting, and I was 100% certain that you had never been there.
Man, I wish I had been there, because I would have been. Well, let me tell you, Christian.
Do you know that it exists?
No, I've never heard of that. Where is that?
Yes, it's, I don't know, it's your city, bub.
Let's see, police museum.
It's like, there's like, you can look at the really, really horrible, tight little cell they have there.
Oh, wow. There are all
old guns and uniforms and like...
It's right up the street. I know where that is. That's like really close.
It seems awful. I mean, it seems like it's bad. Like, it seems like it's a bad place.
It looks like an escape room.
I'm sure there's a horribly racist escape room, San Diego Police. There must be. Yeah.
The original escape room.
It looks just like an escape room.
Exactly.
Wow. Yeah, I've seen this. I've driven by this place a few times.
And you wonder, like, what is this and why?
I spit out my window every time.
Good.
No. Good. There is definitely like a... love of law enforcement and military kind of culture here in San Diego. That I
did. Is there like the it's I know military presence is big there, but it like sort of it generalizes to the police as well.
I think it for certain people, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it kind of bleeds over. It's that same. I mean, so San Diego historically is pretty sort of right wing conservative. And until recently, those people loved the cops. Now, you know, that mood has shifted. But yeah, that was I think there's definitely a group. I mean, although there's also like a big sort of, you know, very anti. I mean, there's a ton of immigrants here, especially like Mexican immigrants and or Central American immigrants, and so there's a big like anti-police and anti-ICE and all that kind of faction as well. But I'm gonna have to go check this place out.
An interesting mix.
See if I can escape the, escape the cell that they have here.
Nice.
Look at this. They have fucking people in a cell. They're proudly displaying. That they have these people locked up in this tiny, horrible room.
They also have past police uniforms on like store type mannequins. And so there are a couple like female mannequins that look very sort of like vampish or something.
Yes.
Are you seeing it?
Yes.
It's a weird look. It's a weird look.
They put mustaches on some of these guys too. That's great.
Oh god.
Classic.
It's so perfect.
Amazing. I'm gonna get in trouble if anybody ever hears this.
I've got my question about Ashburnham.
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay. All right. Please tell me that you have been to the Frederick Historic Piano Collection.
Yes, this is what I wanted to do.
Okay. First of all, yes, but yes? not many times. Yes, we have been
there. Okay.
And it is a kind of amazing thing that it's just this older couple, and they have been like keeping this museum of incredible pianos, some of them from like the 1700s. It's one of the like most widely respected piano museums, like at least in the state,
but
at least in the whole like New England. And they have these like, they restore pianos. And their whole thing, which is super cool, is that they're not just like pieces to come and look at like a museum. You go to the museum and you get to play the pianos.
No way.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So they've restored them and they tune them. And they even like there's a church nearby. We went to a piano concert last year and they brought in like some, you know, I don't know anything about the piano world, but two very like famous classical pianists. And they brought in one of their pianos from the museum and like shipped it. It's only up the road, but still like shipping these pianos is like an ordeal even with a regular piano.
Of course.
So they shipped it to this church and then they had a concert with these like famous pianists. And one of them was blind and they flew them in, you know, to do this thing. It was super cool.
Oh, no way.
Oh my goodness.
This is incredible.
It's another kind of one of these little things where it's just like, how is this just right here, like right down the street? And it's in a pretty unassuming building. Like you're like, oh, what is this place?
Yeah, I can see that.
It's just like
a building.
It's like a brick building.
Looking building though. It's cool looking.
Yeah, like it's right next to City Hall, actually.
1800s.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
So we see it down there. That's near the library. So we're down there, you know, every now and then. But we've really only been in there maybe once or twice because they have weird hours. And like you can do a tour if you schedule it first. And like you have to like call them and set up a time and stuff. And
right.
So we haven't really done that, but yeah, it's just kind of like a crazy thing that this, you know, this like couple has somehow managed to do this, like have this incredible museum, just like as a hobby almost, it seems like.
I love this so much.
This is amazing.
Yeah.
I'm so glad that you were able to speak to it because while, you know, the funny on the police museum that, you know, we knew where that was going. I was earnestly interested in this museum and I feel so satisfied.
Yeah, me too. And it's and what a contrast also between like the the police museum and the piano museum.
I know, right? Oh, those ivory tower East Coasters and their piano museums. We celebrate what separates us from the filth.
Pianos.
Hey, yo, yeah, right. Yeah,
oh, wait, pianos. Are we talking pianos here? Are we talking
right, about... Yeah, yeah. Sorry, yeah, right.
This is so cool. It's so cool that they use them. That to me is like...
Yeah, no, that's a whole nother... Right. Like, so there's so many people who would not let, like, air touch them in the right way. Like, it's like, you got to keep the humidity perfect, and you can't let, like, humans breathe near them. And, like, I just, this couple is super cool. I've read a few things about them. I've never, you know, I don't, like, know them or anything like that. But I just think that, like, their mission was just, like, we want people to hear what these pianos sounded like. And they're, you know, from the 1700s, these are piano, like, they sound different. You know, they were made differently and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So they just let people come in and play them. It's awesome.
Have you been able to tell the difference between like what a piano from the 1700s and a piano from, you know, last week?
No, like? No, we haven't done one of the official tours where they let us do
so
it.
You haven't heard it.
No, yeah. But I mean, they did bring in one of their pianos to that show and, you know, it sounded awesome. Although the church had kind of funny acoustics. Like churches are not, they're good sometimes, but it's a little bit echoey sometimes, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So I would guess it wasn't like an acoustic kind of show, you know, it was just kind of a cool thing that they would play in the church, but I don't think the sound was particularly like perfect for pianos.
The picture of the building that's on Google Maps, that has like just a little bit of snow around the edges. And like you can tell it's winter, right? The trees have no leaves. It's giving me so much like New England nostalgia right now.
Oh man, it's so real.
Like I can feel that air in my lungs right now. Like I know exactly how that feels walking around.
When you go back to New England after not being there for a while, you're just like, oh man, it's so pleasant here. Ah. God, like
it really is different.
Just so pleasant.
Yeah, it's something funny. Something different about it. Yeah,
I feel like it. For me, I always have this feeling of like, you know, the Northeast has been like tamed, basically, like in a lot of ways. Like people have been there for so long, like large amounts of people have been there for so long, doing sort of like. Making towns and cutting trees and then trees grow back and whatever, like that everything is just so, it just seems so much easier for humans to live there in some ways. I don't know.
Everything's very settled in, like,
there's
like a certain groove to everything.
Mm-hmm. Like these towns, like your town, you know, it's been there for like, how long has that town been there?
Yeah. I mean, I don't really know, but probably, you know, 1700s at least or something.
I'll tell you right now.
Yeah, I want to know. And it's like, it's probably been approximately the size it is the whole time.
Yeah, I will say there's, according to the town history, it was at one point bigger than it is now.
Really?
Yeah, it's gone through, it went like, I don't know if that was maybe the 40s or 50s or something. But there's like pictures of it. It was like starting to build up industry, like because it had I don't know, there was a lot of stuff around. And so a lot of that has moved out. And so trees have grown back over a lot of the places where they used to have like other things. So it's gone through some different phases.
Mm-hmm.
So it says here on the town history that it was built up in like the 1730s and then officially.
Wow.
Made a town in like the 1765 officially incorporated.
Okay.
That's... And then no coincidence, shortly after the United States started.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. What are you insinuating there? Lad?
I mean, I don't want to give us credit for everything, but
I think you're right.
I mean, tell us more. That's the story. That's the story of John Ashburnham who saved the Union.
I actually do think John Adams, I think there's a house here it was John Adams's house. I think that may be true, but it's called the Cambridge House, actually.
A weekend one time?
Yeah. Checked out some pianos, had some sushi.
Yes, exactly.
He lived the exact same life that we live now in Ashburnham. Just everything was pretty much the same.
This is interesting, though. So it says that after the War of 1690, where Massachusetts assembled troops to attack Quebec, the surviving soldiers asked the court for payment of their services, but they didn't. The colony had no money, and their pleas went unanswered for 40 years. And then in 1730s, they finally found a way to secure the northern border from the attack and founded the town, which makes me wonder where the border was, because you guys aren't that close to Canada.
Well, wasn't Vermont part of Canada at one point?
I guess the border must have been much farther south, yeah.
I know that there are a lot of there have historically been French speaking Vermonters. Like, that's why the capital is
Montpellier
word, right? Isn't that?
Okay, oui, oui.
I just saw a random fact about Ashburnham to bring it back to Cambridge. Okay. That thing I was saying, the John Adams house, I remember it was called the Cambridge House for some reason. And I just looked it up, and it is actually owned by the town of Cambridge.
What?
Is owned by the town of Cambridge, given in 1734 as compensation for work done with something with the Charles River, building the Charles River. It became known as the Cambridge Bridge Farm. And John Adams did live there.
That's awesome.
Anyway.
That is so weird.
So this Adams family was early settlers in West Cambridge. And yeah.
Anyway. That is so hilarious. You know, they were settling the frontiers.
Yeah.
All the way north.
All the way west.
Ashburnham.
Does the country go farther than this? We may never know. Man may never know.
Meanwhile, my town was built in the 1950s for white people only.
Oh, boo.
Oh, my history sucks.
Your history is sad. It reminds us of sad things. That's illegal in some states, you know.
Yeah. Sad things?
What's that?
Being reminded of sad things is illegal.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. If you're a white person.
Yeah, right. Oh, man. That's great. Should we go back to Missoula for a moment?
Yeah. What's up? What do you want to know about this town?
Let's see. I was curious about Rockin' Rudy's, because I see two Rockin' Rudy's in the slanted streets. I guess you don't go there, though, because you don't go to those neighborhoods.
No. I can tell you about Rockin' Rudy's.
Rockin' Rudy's.
So, you guys, Rockin' Rudy's is Newbery Comics.
Oh, just with a different front?
Yeah, they don't sell comic books, but it's all the other things, at least that historically Newbery Comics was, which was
so it has giant posters in a flappy thing you can flip through.
Yep, through the posters.
Definitely, yep.
Nice.
It's got tons of records. It's ostensibly a record shop. But you can get candy and stuff, and there's some board games and puzzles, and then there's a back area with local makers, but the vibe is Newbery Comics when we were younger. I think Newbery Comics now is relatively, it's sanitized when you go in.
Does it still exist?
This isn't fun. It does, yeah. But it just doesn't have the character that it used to. And so this is how Newbery Comics used to be.
That's pretty cool.
It was one of the first places I found my way to in this town, because I was just sort of what is this? And I was able to get cool local t-shirts, which I bought for a few people at the time. One of my favorites is they'll just be a picture of a goat, and it will just say Mon fucking Tana, and that's the t-shirt. And there are several Mon fucking Tana images, so just random shit from around here, and it just says Mont. So, you know, it's great.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's pretty
cool. That's Rockin' Rudy's.
I'm looking at pictures of Newbery Comics now, locations, and it just looks like a shop at a mall. It's so sad. has no character at all. You're completely right.
Isn't that crazy? I mean, you guys, I'm not crazy, right? It used to be this weird, they'd have, you know, random shit hanging from the ceiling. Like,
They had all kinds of weird art, like musicians that would have like their stuff in there that you wouldn't find in other places. Okay, Christian, so this is a bit of a tangent, but So I often talk about how you introduced me to the world of comic books and comic book shops in like sixth grade or maybe seventh grade.
Picnic.
I was going to say, do you remember some of the shops that we went to?
Yeah, well, we definitely went to Million Year Picnic. So that was the comic book shop. I'm assuming we must have also taken a look at New England Comics.
The games people play.
Well, but the games people play isn't really a comic shop.
Oh, okay. That was more like just.
But then Newbury Comics would be the other one. Those would be the three comic shops that were within walking distance of each other from, like.
From high school? Oh, no. High school. Just in Harvard Square.
Yeah, in Harvard Square.
In Harvard Square, but yeah.
Wait, so I'm actually forgetting which one was New England Comics and which one was Million Year Picnic.
Okay.
Million Year Picnic was downstairs.
In the basement, right? Or sort of in the lower level.
Yep, exactly. Okay. Where it still is today, by the way, which is
That was the best one. The best comics. That was pure comics.
And then New England Comics is the one that is closer to the Kennedy School. It's next to that Indian restaurant that is like just across the bridge. It's where the Falafel Palace used to be. There's still a falafel place there, I think. It's do you know where I'm talking about? Right next to Charlie's.
Yeah. Yes.
Right around the corner from Charlie's.
Yes.
Yeah. Right around the corner from Charlie's.
Is that still there?
That is where New England Comics.
That's got to be gone.
I think it might be, but it might not be. I don't quite recall.
Oh, totally. That place was great too.
Still there. Yeah, it was great. Yeah. Those two were like legit comic shops, and for some reason, they were able to be like literally within 100 yards of each other and still like
in the comic district.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And by the way, New England Comics, which you guys may or may not recall, is the comics creator of The Tick.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No, I did not know that.
So The Tick was created by New England Comics as a publishing label.
Oh, no shit.
And then it got like picked up, basically.
I'm looking at some stuff about that. That's amazing.
Tell me, I hope I'm not wrong about that. That it may be a fact check.
Okay, yeah. Let's see.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. Yep, that's what it is.
So I'm also remembering that this place is definitely gone now, but you start at New England Comics, you go past Charlie's, you take that right up that street that the House of Blues is on, right? And then you're walking sort of towards what's the name of the pizza place that has the Sicilian pizza?
I don't know.
Okay. There was a comic book shop on the second floor of this sort of like little, it was like, I don't know, like a mini mall or something.
Oh God, you mean like where there's an Indian restaurant now?
Yes, there's an Indian restaurant, yeah.
Yeah, there was something in there, wasn't there?
Is this the garage you're talking about?
No, not the garage.
It was,
It's on the opposite side of the street from the garage and like right next to the little park that's there.
Yes. If you were looking out the window of the shop, you would be looking into that.
It's right
park.
Above Charlie's, basically.
Yeah.
I remember there was a comic shop there for a little while. For some reason,
something. God.
For some reason, the name Good Good the Elephant is in my head. But
I have no idea.
That could be something completely different.
No idea. That is hilarious.
But yeah, there was a shop there. And I remember that shop specifically because they had a section that had adult comics that I wasn't allowed to go into.
Well, so did Million Year Picnic as well.
Oh, yeah, is that right? I remember being very intimidated in Million Year Picnic. I used to go to New England Comics because I felt like it was more approachable. Like I could, like, you know, I felt like the people at Million Year Picnic knew comics so well that they could tell. They could just smell that I didn't know my shit. And I didn't feel comfortable in there.
Yeah, they were rude. It was
more specifically, they were super rude. That's how I knew they knew their stuff.
Right.
It was only sort of like, you know, if you eventually, like, you could work on them, you know, for a while, and then they might actually like be nice to you. But it took a while. I had to grow. I had to develop that relationship over time.
so pointless. Why would anybody run their business like that?
I mean, it's like I'd be like, I want to see the new X-Men. They're like, get the fuck out of here. Like, I was like, okay, sorry.
It's basically like they, you know, were probably so sick of seeing kids come through there, and
as an adult now, though. Things. Stealing things is no good, but like as an adult now, like, you know, basically trying to like run a business, like, I don't know. I would just imagine that as a business owner, like you would want to have kids interested in comics in your shop. And there's all these, like, there's this whole, like, I mean, it's like it is a trope at this point, like comic book guy or whatever, like rude comic book people who make you feel bad and make you not want to buy anything and make you not want to go there with their like, but it's like, is that, I don't know. I guess I don't understand like just the logistics of that. Like you drive away like your customers, or maybe you make your other customers more loyal or something. I don't know.
I mean, I'm just gonna say it, Les. You don't get it, buddy.
I've sold out, buddy. Why won't anyone think of the business dynamics? The business.
I'm sorry to tell you. Just, you know, if you just know, you know. That's it.
Let me put it this way. I was never accepted by them. Never.
You've never picked up a comic book since.
Can I see the new X-Men? I'll leave.
Yeah. Get out of here, you pimple faced dweeb.
I'll show them someday. I'll mention them on a podcast and it won't be favorable.
Oh dear. Anyway, so
Rockin' Rudy's.
Yeah, Rockin' Rudy's. There we go.
Are they snobby in there? Are they record snobs?
No, they're super chill.
Probably why they're doing great.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, it smells like Nag Champa in there. It's like lovely.
Well, I see they have two locations. Do you go to Record Heaven or regular Rockin' Rudy's?
So they're right next to each other, though, right? Oh, no. Oh, the record, yeah. No. And that record, is it Haven or Heaven?
The map says Heaven. The card says moves.
Okay. Nice. That doesn't have the same Rockin' Rudy's vibe. It's like just purely you walk in and it's just rows upon rows of records. So it's like very like, it's like the legit record store that we have.
Nice.
Smart of the Mile High Missoula dispensary to set up so close to the record shop.
You will note if you follow the main roads in town that just about every two, maybe blocks, you will find a cannabis dispensary. It's like, it's crazy. Apparently in the county, I was just reading this, there are like 70 dispensaries in Missoula County.
Wow.
It's like, they're like, that's like one for every 1,000 people in this city.
Not just, it has like their own dispensary.
It's crazy. I don't think there's any other business that is that common here. No, maybe grocery. No, I don't know if grocery stores are that. No, they're definitely not.
Do you guys have like an equivalent to Dunkin' Donuts? Just like ubiquitous?
Like, local? No, we don't. We have a number of really fucking awesome independent coffee shops.
That's the like, best.
Oh man, and like more than we deserve. We have we have this one we go anyway. There's this one here that has like the best chai, like, oh, it's so good. Nice. And then there's another one that has like really like just solid like breakfasty type foods, but still like not ordering a whole meal type thing, and really good drinks as well. And then the other one is a giant study hall that is just like a big old dingy place, and there are just rows upon rows of college students there. And it's just woody, and it's great. There,
that sounds
so
awesome.
We have just a bunch of them. Yeah, we're very fortunate as far as like cafes and baked goods for a city our size.
Yeah, that is definitely one thing we are missing.
Yeah. How far do you have to go to get a good chai out there, lads?
Oh
well,
man,
chai. I have no idea, but like a decent coffee. There's a Edizia Cafe, which is in Gardner, which is 20 minutes drive. So,
oh man,
20. That, I mean, 20 minutes is nothing though. That's like also the closest to get to anywhere. Like 15 minutes is like the closest kind of. That's where like the school is, and that's where like the grocery store. But yeah, 20 minutes to the cafe is like pretty standard. And then we just discovered a new one, which is nice, in Fitchburg, which is about 24 minutes away. So,
man.
But yeah, it's slim pickings for that kind of stuff. And definitely nothing you can walk. There's no walking involved in any of this situation.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Driving.
Well, yeah, that's the same moved. In San Diego.
Yeah.
Boo.
I know. It's so lame.
My mom just moved to Topsfield, as you know, Laz, because you popped over to there. And, you know, just everything is far away. Like,
yeah,
there is a downtown which is cute and has a couple places, but like you want something, you are driving like 15-20 minutes.
Yeah, no, it's a whole different vibe, but you know, I've been here for 8 years now or something like that, so
wow,
I'm getting a little better at it at least. Like, you know, like when I think I like, you know, I walk more now. But I have to like, I just like intentionally walk, which I never used to do. I used to walk to go places. Now I walk for the purpose of walking, and I like listen to something or like, which is not, it's not as good, but it's better than not doing that. So it's like, it's an improvement.
Yeah. That's totally the same for me. If I go for a walk, it's because I need to go for a walk. It's not to get anywhere or accomplish anything.
Yeah. No, that's a mental switch for me, because I was very used to walking in a very utilitarian way. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, I'm going to walk to the grocery store. I'll walk. Or like, even if I had to go somewhere, like maybe I'll opt to walk today instead of taking the train. But yeah, it's like, now it's like, okay, I'll just walk for the sake of walking. Yeah. And that's actually, it's a good thing to do. Like, so it's not the same.
I love
it's better
walking.
Than not. Yeah.
To do that. When I was a young man.
Well, how close to, is your stuff? Like, do you actually walk to most places, or do you drive a lot?
So, no, when it's nice out, we're walking. So there's like our main grocery store, which is the fancy grocery store in town. It's literally, let's see, we're on 8th Street. And so it's 5 blocks north of us. And so that's like a lovely walk. And then, sometimes we'll walk over to our coffee shop, which is maybe a mile away, but so you just have a nice, long, pleasant walk over to it.
Yeah. It's nice.
Around the streets with trees and whatnot. And, you know, it's pretty nice. But yeah, it's so much harder to walk places when you have a small child.
Yeah, that's true.
That's temporary.
Yeah, and we'll just break out the stroller and walk around with her.
It's just as hard to walk places when you have an 11-year-old, because they just don't want to do stuff. And you're like, let's go walk to the thing. And they're like, ugh.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that kills me about, because I do take a lot of walks now. Like I would say every day, not quite every day, but almost every day take a walk. And like, for a long time, I was like, hey, does anybody want to go on a walk with me? Like, and it's like, because there's no purpose, because there's no like utility to it. Like, if I say like, you know, we do have a place that we can walk to, which is like this little plot of land. It's like 15-minute walk away. And like, sometimes I'll be like, hey, you want to like walk to the land and check something like thing out. And like, that's maybe, but there has to be some like draw, or the kid, I don't know. It's like, they're just not into the idea of walking for the sake of walking. So it's like, unless I kind of like dress it up fancy as like doing something else, like, yeah, it's not as it's not much of a draw.
My mom, the kind of thing she would do is with like, just she'd make up some kind of game or scavenger hunt or something, right? And she'd always have something like this, wow, up her sleeve, you know.
So good.
Like, wow, that's amazing. Like,
so we're gonna go count how many birds we see today. She does this every time she visits us now with my son. She's like, wow, we're gonna count the dogs. And my son's like, cool, let's do it. I'll go for a walk with grandma. Like, I'm like, what,
oh
the hell,
god,
like,
god, it's such a small smart thing to do.
It's so easy.
What a brilliant woman.
But yeah,
I feel like they would catch on after a little while, right?
Yeah, you got to switch
still
it up.
Fun, even if they don't. Yeah, you got to find something interesting, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that makes sense.
Put some work into it.
Yes, yeah. That is her. That is the definition of my mom.
I like that. Yeah, I like that. That's though. So I feel cool. Like I could adapt that lesson to something around here, and that's kind of what I do, I guess, with the land. Like when I'm like, oh, let's like, you know, find something cool on the land or something.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
One cool thing that I found. First, go ahead, Christian.
Well, I was just going to say, when I first moved to Missoula, I just walked everywhere. I was like, okay, I'm just going to like walk for, I'm just going to choose a direction and walk and see what's over there. Like, I did that for a few weeks, and it was a really like lovely way to like get to know a place that I just didn't know anything about at all. It was really cool.
You know what my version of that was when I moved to San Diego? I became a Lyft driver. And
oh, that's right.
You can't learn this town by walking. You have to drive around. So I just drove everywhere.
That's so right.
Yeah.
It was awesome. It was like doing double duty with like learning and making some money.
Getting a little not really getting too much money, but I did get to meet people a lot. And this is actually one of the things I thought about talking about today, but it really played to my sort of extroverted side. And I really enjoyed that. And now I have become much less extroverted since COVID, I would say. So I don't know if I would enjoy it as much as I did back then.
You don't talk to nobody, no how.
I mean, leave me alone. I'm old and I want to stay inside.
That's right.
Don't make me go
for walks.
Just run
around your kitchen. Why would you want to leave that?
Yeah, exactly. It's the best place. My house is so, so comfortable and made for me and my family now. It's just like, it is hard to leave.
You like literally made parts of it, right?
Yeah.
Like, to your liking, like woodworking.
Like the whole, the whole kitchen, moved the bedrooms around or whatever, changed their sizes.
We, I think I've told you this, Christian, cool. But my wife and I sleep in separate rooms, and each of our rooms is our room. And so I have, you know, I'm in my room right now with my office and my bed and all my stuff. And I love it. It's great. That's just like my space. We found that this works
like,
really well.
Basically
for us.
Just like posters of like women from the 90s on the walls
with cars,
like, Jessica Biel, Jessica Alba.
you have like a one of those mattresses just thrown on the floor in the corner.
this is my bed.
You've got a GameCube up on some cinder blocks. Like, love this place.
It's the best place in the world.
You've got an arrangement of like buckets that you use for like drum practice.
And also as a toilet.
Oh dear. Yes. Wow. That's great. It's pretty special.
Yeah, Christian, actually.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, when you're walking around Missoula, like when you first went there, that's something I identify with that fully. Like, I think I was like, I visited Nashville and I was just there for like a week. But that was like I did the exact same thing. I wasn't staying there or anything, but like, I just feel like choosing a direction and walking when you're in a new place, in a place where it's possible to do that. You know, it's like not all places make that work, but yeah, it's like such a good way to just like, you know, get a little bit lost and walk around and see what you end up finding.
Yeah.
Well, and also, like, Nashville is a really good place for that if you're, like, near the downtown area where it's just, like, place after place after place after place. Like, it's crazy, like, how many businesses there are there and how many, like, music cafes and bars there are. And
yeah, it was just, like, cool things everywhere you go. It's like,
it is really cool. It's, I gotta say, it is really cool.
Yeah.
Like, right next to also, like, a giant, like, line dancing, like, place.
Yeah.
Like, talking, like, multi-levels and just, like, line dancing.
Yeah, I did not see any of that, but there was so much music stuff. I was on Music Row, so it was, like, every single possible label and label names. I was just like, this can't be real. Like, every house, it looks like normal houses, like any suburban neighborhood you'd like walk through, but everyone has a really fancy, like, you know, Nashville music. I don't know. There's all these like really sort of hip seeming mute. Like they're all records, not like record stores, but they're all like production areas.
So
there's
cool.
Just hundreds of them. Really strange.
It's really wild. That place truly is like a musical city. It's just not music that I like, but it's cool that it's there.
Yeah, and actually, there's a lot of folk music there too. Like, it wasn't all country. So, like,
it's true.
And there was live music in like all the cafes and bars and stuff, and it was very folksy. And I was enjoying that part of it.
Live music everywhere is so awesome. I love places like that. It's just so much more live. I was in Galway, Ireland, and. Like, you just walk down sort of the main street on a Tuesday and every fucking bar has a band playing. And it's like, there's no one even watching. There's like four people in each of these places. But like, it's everyone just out to like have fun and play music and it's great.
Yeah. Yeah, there's like a certain element of like playing the music. Like, I think maybe in Nashville, there's a little bit of almost like getting your reps in. Like, they're like, everybody's training to play bigger and bigger. So they like people are like, so like they don't mind playing like, in front of nobody or like, it's like, I'm paying my dues right now. I'm out like, hitting the cafes and doing the bars at night. And I'm just playing the music and getting better and better and better. And it's like, it is cool. It's a cool, like mentality or something.
Yeah. It's a great, great experience too. If you're just wandering around and you're just hearing good music everywhere, even if it's not your type of music, it's just like it's actually being played. It's not just like something blasting over a stereo. Like,
That was one of the great things about the Cambridge Boston area was that like there are several areas that have these pockets of just like small music venues, and you could go there, and there's usually there's something playing most nights, basically. That was great. There's good music scene here in Missoula, but it's nothing like that area or like where you guys are describing.
Have you guys ever been to in Boston? Is this it? I think this is the name of it. Wally's Cafe and Jazz Club.
Yes, I have been there once. I was actually brought there by your friend Christian.
Oh,
and musician extraordinaire. Gosh, why am I blanking on his name right now?
Oh, you think about Andrew?
Andrew, yes.
My former roommate.
And he was like, I heard him play guitar a few times, and I was just like, holy moly. Like,
you had him like teach you some guitar stuff, didn't you?
He was super generous with his time and effort, and I did like lessons with him. And he taught me music theory in a way that like, I mean, he's a smart guy, and like he explained it, and it was just like, it totally changed like my sort of perception of just, I was like noodling around, but I just had no concept of like the bigger picture of like chord progressions and theory and all these kind of different, and like specific, like, okay, here's how like you do like the minor seventh chord for any chord, like you just like do this and this, and it was like, oh, cool, this is crazy. But he was like, he took me on like a field trip as part of our learning, and it was to Wally's, and he was like, we're gonna go to Wally's, and we're gonna so me and him went there and hung out.
Asked about this place, holy shit,
I know.
And it's this tiny little, like, it's the smallest little place.
So
like,
unassuming,
it's just like,
yeah.
I would not, I mean, I wouldn't have even, like, even going in there, I wouldn't have known what it was. But he said this is, like, probably the best jazz club in Boston.
Yeah.
And he's like, you're going to get the best performers here, and it's going to be incredible. And it was, you know, it was amazing. I mean, I really am not a big fan of jazz. So it kind of like, you know, for people who are super into music theory, jazz is, like, the perfect vehicle for their music theory. But when I hear it, I just like, you know, I just don't get the same thing from it. So
yeah, it's a, I was taken there by someone, like, by, I guess my brother, who knew about it from a friend. And yeah, it was just like, what, this, I'd never knew this place existed. I only went there once ever as well. But I guess it's very close to Berkeley, Christian. So you could imagine a lot of,
oh, that makes sense,
Berkeley kids, yeah, that
which
go
is
there.
Also really close to the Boston Conservatory.
Yes, right. Yeah.
And then also the New England Conservatory is over there too, right? Like, aren't they, isn't that something like that?
Yeah, I don't know.
I want to say there are like three music schools in that little area.
Right there. That could be for sure. Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, very cool spot. I wouldn't have ever found it if someone didn't take me there.
That is wild, man.
Same.
So you guys, you've both been there, and it was really cool, and you really wish that somebody had taken you there.
Yeah. Well, now that I know about it, I mean, I would bring any of my good friends there. In fact, I would say I probably brought all of my good friends there. I mean, that's what you do once you find out about it.
Once you find out about Wally's.
The cycle continues. I mean, I've gone through my list. That's it. Everybody's gone.
Oh boy. Well, I wasn't sure that we were going to do this the whole episode, but I'm really enjoying it. I think no one else could possibly enjoy this, but I am really enjoying it.
Map talk. This has been Map Talk
with the Country Chicken Lawyer.
That's right. That was our episode name of our show. That's the show's name.
It's interesting to me how I know you want to wrap up. Just one last thought is, it's interesting to me how we.
Well, no, I was wondering if we were going to do San Diego again or whatever. But
oh,
I'm
no. Let's wrap up.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
I think San Diego's not that. It's really not that interesting. what's interesting to me is how often we came back to places in Boston and Cambridge while talking about other places.
It's like our shared central, like, you know, starting point for comparison.
Yeah,
for these other places.
Well, I think there's some nice nostalgia in like having people who we can talk about our homes with, like, because I mean, you know, maybe a little less so for you, Laz, because you got there sort of in middle school, but. I mean, even still, you know, it's where you had
a lot
of your formative
years. That's where I, okay. I mean, really, yeah. It's like, no, it wasn't even middle school. I mean, it was, fifth grade. So, yeah, it was, you know. But, yeah, I mean, I feel like that was where I kind of grew up for sure.
Yeah. I mean, okay, so then you get it. It's just like, you know, just like, no, we don't, there's our small group of people who grew up in this place at the same time, and that's it.
And who walked everywhere.
Right. Like, until you could get a bicycle.
Yep.
Cool. Good. Well, thanks for in to Map Talk with Country Chicken Lawyer.
Yeah, and Tooth Man. And Tooth Man. And the sneeze.
That's me. I've got allergies.
Country lawyer. I guess that's me. Toothman and the sneeze. I said, I guess that I do declare that I am he. The chicken.
Finally figured it out.
Oh, good.
Nailed
it down. All right, well, is that it?
Yeah, that's great. That's super fun.
Okay. Yay. Bye.
Bye.
All right. Bye.
Okay. Stop the recording now. Okay. I almost played my hand on made a run. Now my back's against the wall. In case we survive, win or lose.
understand.